Welcome everyone to Kathy is In. And no, you don't have the wrong channel. This is actually Kathy speaking to you with whatever voice I have left. let's just call this my Brenda Vaccaro imitation. Is that too old?
Yeah.
Don't say yeah, Jill. You know who Brenda Vaccaro is. Don't be acting like you're of a different generation.
Well, I'm half a generation different.
Well, I'm not in Brenda Vaccaro's generation either, but I know who she is.
All right.
These Hollywood actresses. I don't age. I don't age at all. I'm having my annual loss of voice. It is the annual spring is turning to summer transition in the environment, and this happens to me every single year. It's like clockwork. Other than it doesn't happen every week, every same week, that would make it easier to know when it's coming. But every spring, I lose my voice. So here we are, guys. This is day one. If it were day two, I'd have to have like a monkey here translating, or I don't know.
Or one of us.
Or mm-hmm. One of you guys could do it.
I guess. Thanks.
I guess I wouldn't need a monkey. Yeah. Crazy.
Nice.
So a little later on in this hour, we have psychologist and author Deborah Riebel. She's written a book. I said that with a question mark because I want to make sure I was saying it correctly. I was looking at Jill for validation. Riebel?
Yes.
Yes. Her book is called Soul-Hearted Partnership, and I was really impressed by her concepts. And, you know, a lot of the things, I think everything that we try to learn about ourselves, our relationships, how to grow, how to think about spirituality, how to think about communication, our emotions, I always think all of that over my years of pontificating really boils down to learning different languages. And I don't necessarily mean, well, I don't at all mean French, English, Italian, that kind of thing. I mean the kind of language that permeates people's subconscious defenses. And that's, you know, the words you choose, how you describe something. For instance, is it God? Is it not God? Is it just a force of love? Is it light? Like, what word do you use? Okay, so that's right. What I mean when I talk about translation. And I think I really like Deborah's translation. I really like the language she uses. I really like the language she speaks to make her points. And so we're going to have her on a little bit later in the hour to talk about soul-hearted partnerships and what those are in terms of how are they different from other partnerships. But before we get there, I just want to warm up a little bit. And, you know, welcome everybody to the show. Last night was a really big night in American Idol in our, you know, in our pop culture here in the United States. Cutie little Philip Phillips won. He's adorable. I really like him. I also love Jessica Sanchez. I think they were great. They were fun. But my point is not that. My point is, did you guys watch this last night?
Did you guys watch it?
Because we had to put a little rewind on the DVR situation and watch it again. When Jennifer Holliday and Jessica Sanchez got up and sang, and I'm telling you, is that the title of the song?
I'm telling you, I'm not going.
I'm not going. And neither one of them were going to go. Really was what was happening on that stage. They were not going.
I kind of lost my mind a little bit.
You did lose your mind.
I lost my mind. I was laughing so hard because I didn't know what I was watching. Like, it was insanity. It was these two incredible singers. I couldn't tell if they were competing, if they were encouraging each other. And Jennifer Holliday's faces were, they were just really crazy.
At some point, I remember just freezing and staring at the TV and thinking, what is happening?
It was insanity.
What in God's name is happening? Jennifer Holliday, I mean, okay, so there's two divas on stage. Now, first of all, let's give Jessica Sanchez a little breathing room. She's 16 years old.
Yeah, she's a baby.
My baby. She's a baby.
Yeah.
16 years old. She opens her mouth. She sounds like God is coming out of her. I mean, her voice is amazing. It's only going to get more so. So you see someone like Jennifer Holliday come out on stage, a grown woman, you know, long career, well-respected voice of the gods herself. And the performance of the two of them out there, I had to wonder, did Jennifer Holliday feel a little threatened before she came out here tonight? Because she's trying really, really hard.
I don't think so.
She looked like she was trying to win. She didn't look like she was trying to sing.
I think it was just an unreal diva show. I don't think it had anything to do with competition, because, you know, because it was the last night of American Idol. no longer does Jessica Sanchez have to fight for, you know, everything's done. Everybody's voted already.
It's all for fun.
It's all for fun. I honestly, and I know we're talking about, you know, Jennifer Holliday and Jessica Sanchez, but I think it was more of an encouraging thing. And even though they made crazy faces and they were like, I don't know, like the back and forth dynamic between them.
Well, here's the thing. There were moments when Jennifer Holliday would, you know, and divas do that too. And I love that too. It's like the call and response thing, or it's like the, you know, like a dance off or a sing off. Like one diva belts out some amazing sound and looks at the other, and then she answers it back with something else. And this amazing show is created. But there was a point when that started where Jennifer Holliday's next move was to basically take her face off and sing out of the back of her neck. Like, she took a breath as if she was going to blow the house down.
I was saying last night, if this were a Saturday Night Live skit, which it might end up being, that like one would pull their wig off and the next would pull out their dentures. Absolutely. And then the next one would pull their leg off and hit them over the head with it. Like, it was just crazy.
It was not far from that. And there were moments where Jennifer Holliday, you know, towards the end, where they were giving each other their, they were going back and forth and back and forth. And Jennifer Holliday is like 2 inches away from Jessica Sanchez's little 16-year-old girl face. And she's going, I mean, she's just amping up.
I know, but
I think faces that looked like monster faces. It almost looked like she was, you know, and I'm not going to say this is what she was doing, because those two women were up there channeling talent.
That, oh, my God. They were amazing.
It's hard to identify
with. It was insane. I don't even know what it was.
What was going on up there. But there were moments looked like Jennifer Holliday was bullying Jessica Sanchez. Like, come on, little girl. This is how you do it.
I totally see how you could see that. I totally saw that could be a way it could be interpreted. I disagree. I think she was pushing her to higher singing levels, and
both are possible. Both are absolutely possible.
I think it was awesome.
All I know is we watched a display of some kind of
crazy. Crazy talent.
You want to go to crazy?
Talent.
We put it up on my Facebook page. It's on Facebook. It's on my Twitter. I mean, you can go easily look at it right now. Look at Jennifer Holliday's face during the last note.
Yeah.
It kind of sums up what they just went through. And you're looking at her going, what is going on?
Well, when I here's partially what I think is going on. She is the one that sort of made that song what it is. And
back to own it.
Yeah, every diva has done their version of that song since she did it, including Jennifer Hudson. And I think she came out to like let the audience know, just so you don't forget, I'm the one that sang this song.
Well, this is what I'm saying first. This is what I saw.
But I don't feel like I know, but I just feel like she's a very expressive singer. You know what? Some of the comments on YouTube, like we posted the YouTube clip, and if you read some of the comments, like pretty much everyone's reacting the same way we are. They're like, what was that?
What just happened?
And someone wrote something like, I don't know why I let my 2-year-old watch that. She was like shivering and quivering in fear after looking at Jennifer Holliday's face for those 3 minutes. Like,
Jennifer Holliday was a little bit frightening.
And she was very intense.
Jessica Sanchez, and I know camera angles can screw with this sort of thing, but it looked like they were an inch from one another's face.
Yeah, they probably were.
And it looked like there were moments where Jennifer Holliday was gearing up all that energy for one of those big notes in Jessica's face with one of those faces that she was making. Like, the faces she was making were insane.
Yes, but Jessica doesn't care
because Jessica just stood there
and did it
and held her ground.
She was amazing.
It was like her hair was blowing back. Like,
well, I'm Googling right now Jennifer Holliday. I mean, there's all these news stories about like how crazy awesome that
It was unbelievable, crazy awesome, but you really have, when you watch that, you have to know there's something going on there that we can't even identify with.
Yeah, can
we talk about Jennifer Lopez's diaper pants?
Why?
Because.
Why?
Because.
Can we talk about Fantasia's bodysuit?
Yes.
Yeah,
And Shaka Khan
had one too.
This is where I think.
Sequined bodysuits.
And Becca, this is where your old soulness comes in, because you're of the younger generation, but Jill and I were sitting there, a little bit older generations than you. We're kind of like, you know, a staircase. There's Becca, there's Jill, there's me. And we were looking at the outfits J-Lo was wearing, and Shaka Khan was wearing this one-piece suit, and Fantasia was wearing this one-piece suit, where they didn't, they weren't the most flattering outfits.
So unflattering.
I don't mind.
This is where I have to feel like I'm one of those people going, kids today, look at what they're wearing.
Yeah, except they're not kids.
They look
so our age.
Yeah, but they're styled.
I'm body positive with all types of bodies. It's not about that. It's about
It's about flattering.
Yeah, that they just weren't flattering, but more J-Lo's diaper pants. People have been trying. Remember when we did this photo shoot and the stylist kept trying to make us wear those pants? And we were like, no, those don't look good on anybody.
I think it's like a European thing. No, seriously, it's like a European fashion.
No offense to the Europeans.
I don't know what it is. We got 1 minute. So before we move on to our, take a break and come back with author Deborah Riebel, psychologist Deborah Riebel, I just want to introduce a little bit what we're going to talk about, because this is something that came up for me all week, not only with clients, but in my personal life. And here's the crux of what I want to get to, and I'm excited to talk to Deborah Riebel about. I am all about, and I'm constantly talking about, being authentic, being honest, and communicating your feelings. I'm always talking about the value of that and how there should be no other choice. But after going through some trials and tribulations the last couple of weeks with clients and my own personal life, I've started to reevaluate that. And I've started to really look at that. And something inherently inside me told me, no, this is still the right answer. And then I read some of Deborah's book and I thought, this is the way to think about this. I really want to talk about this. When is communicating your feelings regarding the dynamics you're experiencing in a relationship, whether it's a friendship, a work relationship, a lover, when is it right or the wrong thing to do to share your feelings? And is it ever a wrong time? We're going to come back with Deborah Riebel. Right now, we're taking a break.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of Star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner, Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist, Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com and set your cool free.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We want to welcome to the show psychologist and author Deborah Riebel. Deborah, welcome.
Hi, Kathy. It's good to be here.
Thank you for coming to the show. I really appreciate, being on the phone anyway.
Yes.
I really appreciate
I'm as close
it.
As you can be.
Yes. Where are you? You're in Cleveland, aren't you?
I'm in Cleveland, yes.
Ooh. Cleveland, Ohio. It's
actually
raunchy,
pretty beautiful today here.
It's a raunchy
place.
I'm
enjoying Cleveland for a change.
So, Deborah, before we start talking about your book, can you just tell me, a little bit about what inspired you to actually write it? Because the way you talk about looking at relationships in your book, the different kinds of relationships and how that might change how we approach them or think about them or what we expect of them, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, actually, my clients inspired me as well as my own personal life. But I had a client that finally came to me one day and said, would you please write down these principles and guidelines that you give us so that we have something to refer to when we can't get in touch with you directly. And I realized that I have a lot to offer people from my own personal experience and then my experience in working with clients, but I wanted people to have a sense of their own personal journey and that no matter what they've been through in relationships and in their own personal lives in relationships, that they can transcend that, that there is a resiliency about our human spirit. And there are ways and tools and principles that can guide us to have the kind of relationships we want as well as the kind of life we want.
Yeah, there's a universality about this thing called the human experience. As different as we all are, and we are, there's a universality of it at our core. And I think your concepts really speak to that. And I really like that because it's like a it's almost like a roadmap to finding your way out of a confusing place. And
That's a good way to look at it. I call it a soul blueprint
for our
soul's journey. And that's exactly what I wanted to give people is a map so that they could, you know, it could guide their lives in many different ways.
Yeah, I think what you created was is a really lovely tool, and the language that you use is going to be able to translate to a lot of people. And you put it into universal terms or ways of looking at the relationships that people are in and what to expect of them. And how, I find with my clients, a lot of the questions are, how do I appropriately participate in this relationship, whether it be a work relationship or a lover or a friend or an acquaintance versus a long-time friend or a roommate? There's all different ways of looking at how do I bring my best self to this relationship, and when is it appropriate and when is it not appropriate to be as authentic as possible and share my feelings. And I felt like your categories of breaking down how to understand what a relationship means in your life really helps to start get the ball rolling on how to answer that question of how much of me do I participate, you know, do I use participating in this relationship?
And yes, I would say, Kathy, in all relationships, you know, especially with ourselves, we need to start with 100%. And I talk about relationships being the one vehicle that really gives us the feedback and the information that we need to break our behavioral patterns to be that better person in our lives. And for me, there is no time that you don't share that vulnerability or that sense of your true authenticity. Now, there are times where it's not safe. I mean, there are people
Yes.
and situations in life where we're not going to bare our soul because we don't feel that person's going to be receptive or non-judgmental. However, we have to always be authentic with ourselves. So
Right.
that's where it begins. It's with that conversation with self that we have to be able to really hear our own truth and know that our experience, no matter what, is always valid, even if someone else doesn't have it.
Right. Now, here's the question, and you validated me early on in your comment, Deborah, so I feel better. you always opt for, you know, authenticity and the vulnerability because that's our most... That's our most authentic, raw, real place. That's where we're really operating from, whether we acknowledge it consciously or not. That's what's running the show. So I always like to talk about consciously bringing to awareness what's going on in those vulnerable parts of ourselves so that we can find an effective way to communicate about it so that our full authentic self is participating in that relationship. And I think what's become the default for a lot of people is a safe way of participating in relationships. And it's almost become the idea that doing that is the appropriate thing to do because it's polite. It keeps, quote, confrontation off the table. I know a lot of my clients like to talk about these moments with their friends or their relationships as confrontation because they encounter some difficulty in exposing that vulnerability. Or when they go to expose that vulnerability, poof, our defenses pop up. And so it's not always a smooth road. It's sometimes a very tricky path of communication. And so I think a lot of people in the world have decided the best way to be in relationships, whether we've known the person for a day or for 10 years, is to politely remove any of those feelings that are difficult to talk about so that we don't have to navigate something that could be sticky.
I would agree with you, Kathy. That's been my experience with, you know, my clients in working with their relationships, you know, in whether it's work relationships or intimate relationships. There's a tendency to want to avoid, like you said, conflict or avoid any type of rocky road. And we have to know that if we're going to show up fully in a relationship, and that's what brings that wonderful energy to share with another human being or a group of human beings. We have to be able to share our deepest, most authentic, you know, feelings and sensations and experiences. That's what makes life more than just the day-to-day tasks that we go through. In the book, I like to differentiate between expressing our fullest being versus identity. And so many of us go through the motions of our routines, our habits, the hats that we wear, the roles that we play, and we think that's what we offer another person in relationship, and that's not what makes this relationship come alive. It, you know, where the spirit really moves through us and we authentically can communicate heart to heart.
Right.
So I try to really help people to trust themselves, that if they open up and it's a safe place to share those feelings with someone, that person will be receptive and they'll get to know them at a higher level. And that
right.
and that relationship will transcend. It'll be more than just, you know, we're just going through the day-to-day.
Yes. And you took some steps to break relationships down in ways that we can recognize why they may or may not be in our lives and what their purpose is. And you broke them down into transitional relationships, contractual relationships, and finally soul-hearted partnerships. And when I was working with some clients this week, I realized I'm working with them and we sort of have an understanding. We're coming from that soul-hearted partnership goal place, although that may not have been our language. That's your language, and I think it's wonderful language and really works. But coming from that place of bringing more authenticity, trying to be more open in their friendships or more honest in their relationships, and really it's in pursuit of that deeper intimacy. And I find that people run into sharing their vulnerable feelings. A lot of people judge their vulnerable feelings as something ugly, weak, or not to burden others with. And so I find the first obstacle is helping people understand or accept their own vulnerabilities and their own feelings about things with compassion and understanding before they can do, if they can't do that, they can't expect it from anyone else. And they can't expect to have that part of themselves participate in relationships because they're always going to hide it, or they're always going to make excuses for it, or they're always going to leave it out of the room. And what I run into is this question comes up a lot. Isn't it just selfish of me to share that feeling? Like, sometimes I should share my feelings and sometimes I shouldn't, but, you know, why does my girlfriend or boyfriend have to care that because they got a new job where they're really excited and they're spending a lot of their time, I'm having little baby feelings inside that I'm not enough anymore, that I'm not the exciting thing in their life anymore? Okay, maybe that's my own transition to go through. But then they want to know, why should I burden my partner with that information? Why shouldn't I just keep that to myself so they can enjoy their new job? What would you say to someone in that position?
Well, the first thing that comes up for me is I look at, where is the motivation coming from for wanting to share those feelings? Mm-hmm. If it's truly, I need to share them so that my partner understands that I'm happy for them, but this is really difficult for me. It's going to create change in my own life, and I'm going to be working through that. So if I'm a little grumpy or irritable or something, you know, I might be snappish, that's where that's coming from. But if it's coming from a place of, I want to be, you know, the center stage, I want, you know, all the attention, then I would look at, maybe that is a little bit selfish
right.
in the motivation.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, the continuum of selfless to selfish, and with self being in the middle, if we're coming from our fullest sense of self and we trust that ourselves to express to our partner, we need to let them know, because it isn't going to be just this, you know, wonderful, let's celebrate, and then everything's hunky-dory. Those feelings are going to come up somewhere, and we want them to come up in a space where it can be really resolved and talked about, rather than, you know, in a when we're in the grocery store and we get into a fight about the milk, and it's not about the milk.
Right.
You know, it's really
right.
about something else.
Yes, it's about it, and I like to describe that as expelling the energy or diffusing the energy, because it's inside
yeah.
and it's at work regardless of whether we choose to ignore it or not. It's there. And it's
there
at work.
And it's going to come out.
It's going to come out. It's going to continue to be there and to move until it manifests mm-hmm. into something. It's not going to just go away. And so finding that energy and learning how to manifest it towards soul progression or towards growth, or using that bit of energy in service of deepening the intimacy with that other person, I think are not the simplest outlets. But at the they're not easy to do. In the end, they are the simple thing to do. I'd rather say it that way. I mean,
absolutely.
Yes, yes.
It takes a lot less energy to, you know, to honestly share where you're coming from, where your feelings are, your deepest level, than in the end when you're trying to hide, avoid all these different conflicts, because it takes a lot more on that end. And this, like you said, Kathy, it's perfect. This gives a couple or a friendship or whoever we're talking about that beautiful opportunity to move through something challenging. They learn about each other. They learn about themselves. This, the person who's struggling gets to see, why am I struggling? What is this bringing up for me? And what do I need to look at so I can move forward in my life?
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people find it hard to decide when is it okay to, quote, yeah, burden my partner with this process, and when should this process just privately be mine, because that's the polite, loving thing to do, which I often think is a misconception. Deborah, we have to go to a break, but we'll be right back with more Deborah Riebel after this.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of Star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com and set your cool free.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com. Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. I was just swallowing my lemon tea with honey.
You got a very sexy voice today, honey.
Well, thank you. You like this?
Yes.
Are you trying to control yourself? Please, I'm working. I'm working. What? Don't do that, Becca Cates. Don't do that. Becca Cates is giving me some. All right. Never mind. Attitude. Attitude in the studio. We're back. Deborah, are you still with us?
I'm still there. Okay. I have my tea with honey also.
Oh, good. I'm dealing with my annual voice loss, so forgive me for that. I'm sorry. We have to deal with my frogginess today. Excuse me. Okay. So I want to get back on track, Deborah. We're talking about your book, Soul-Hearted Partnership, and we were talking about the values or reasons for sharing our vulnerabilities with other people. And I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about the three types of partnerships that you identified. I think when we sit down, we're trying to decide whether or not to talk to a partner, a friend, a coworker about feelings or vulnerabilities that are at work inside of us, it could help to identify what type of which category this relationship falls into. And it's really helpful, the categories that you've devised. Can you tell us about them?
Well, the first, I'll keep it real simple first, then I'll go into the categories in the book.
Okay.
The first thing I always say is that, you know, relationships are either for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. So when we look at that, we go into the book's definitions. For a reason, maybe for a transition. I talk about transitional relationships where someone comes along at just the right time, whether it's a friend, a colleague, or an intimate partner, that provides some type of support, love, guidance. And it's I like to call them like the earth angels. You know, they show up right when you need them. A lot of times people misunderstand that this particular relationship is just for a moment. And they try to make it into something else, and it becomes a lot more difficult then to sustain that relationship down the road.
Yeah, the idea of the rebound relationship yes. comes to mind when you talk about this.
Absolutely. We're sitting, you know, someone's sitting at a bar stool, and they meet this person, they go home for the night, and it's just, you know, supporting each other, maybe physically, giving each other companionship for that particular moment.
Look how gentle and sweet you're being about a one-night stand.
Support someone physically. I like that.
You're so being so kind about a one-night stand.
Sometimes being very kind. But they do have purpose.
Yes, they do. They validate our ego.
Marriage.
That's right. They do serve a purpose. You're right.
And so that's where it gets confusing. And instead of realizing and saying, you know, we've been in each other's lives, we've completed the purpose for which we came together, let's bless and release and let go and move on our ways, that relationship becomes even more entrenched.
In other words, the sun's come up, put your jeans on and leave so I can have coffee.
Or let's just, you know, have coffee and then, you know, call it a day. But we have then... And sometimes those are our soulmates. I mean, those are people who come in, and they're not supposed to be with us for our entire lives. You know, there's this misconception that soulmates, there's one person for the rest of your life. Soulmates, there are thousands of them. And sometimes these soulmates come in just for the moment to say, hey, I love you, you know, I'm encouraging you, and then go forward, and that's it. It's a right. glance across the room. It's a connection that we make at a party, and that's all it is to know that we have that connection. But the soulmates that last, that go into a relationship that we can actually, where both people are committed to their own well-being and their own sense of self-growth and discovery, that can go into a soul-hearted partnership, and that can go for lifelong. And that can be with an intimate partner, it can be with a friendship, and we all know those friends we have for life.
So these are more the relationships where we invite them into our deepest process, and we invite them in there because that's where they've already accepted to be. They want to come into our deepest soulful, spiritual, vulnerable places with us. They want to be there. We've negotiated that with one another. That's the relationship we are having. It could be your best friend. It could be someone you end up marrying and is your partner. It could be anyone, really. If it's that person that participates with you in your soul's progression. And in order to do that, we've got to face our vulnerable baby places, you know, the places inside us that we might feel haven't grown up yet. We might feel our, and I hate this word, we might feel it's our needy place. It's such a judgmental word, because we all have it. Why don't we all just stop judging it and, you know, have compassion for it? We have these needy places inside us that are trying to grow. They're not needy. They're trying to grow.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And we all have needs.
Right.
It's a human experience.
It's a human experience. We spend so much time trying to be better than human, you know, by not having those feelings.
But you're absolutely right, Kathy. It's that, you know, those people in our life, they're the rare gems. Those are the soulmates that we actually can live with, you know, with very low maintenance here on the earth. And there's an energetic simpatico. It's these energies blend, and each energy from the individual just blends in with in a synergy with the other, and it just becomes more than the sum of the individual partners.
Right.
So that's the goal of soul-hearted partnership.
Right. Now,
but it's recognizing the in-between.
It's recognizing
moving into that.
That's right. That's right. And I think soul-hearted partnerships can be missed sometimes, Deborah, because the functions that we're talking about are not fun all the time. I mean, we move through moments growing. I mean, there's a term, growing pains. We've all heard it. There's a reason it exists, because growing hurts in all of its forms, because you're shedding something old and you're developing something new. And in order to go through that with someone, there's going to be periods of time where that feels like a really rough patch, or that feels like a confrontation, or that feels like something's wrong because it's uncomfortable, it's not going smoothly, or because there's confusion. But really, that's just the gap between one side of the healing and moving towards the other. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that's where, you know, most, it's difficult for two individuals who are not both working on themselves at that level to do that. So that's where when we're really looking at ourselves and each, you know, each day is a new day. We have a clean slate and we approach that person, that partner, that friend, and we accept them just as they are for that particular day. That's the vulnerability. See, we can let go, we can share, we can open ourselves, and we know that they won't hold that against us.
Right.
And you can't, wake up the next day, it's a new day.
And there's a hard time doing that when you haven't done that for yourself first.
Absolutely. That's the forgiveness. I mean, right. It's not a religious term. It's a term of absolute letting go. It's saying, I can let this go so that I can be new in the next moment with this particular person and with myself, most importantly.
Right.
And so much of the dialogue in our heads is not that. We just beat ourselves up for the past over and over again. And, you know, that's violence to me. I want to practice nonviolence in my own being.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're so right about that. There are so many ways in which we grow up trying to stay out of the way, or the way that we love someone is by kind of not existing in the relationship. You know, I'm a better friend if I never make it about me and I always fold or deplete myself or give you whatever you need in any moment. That makes me the best friend in your life. And then at the end of the day, I'm empty and I'm resentful and I'm angry and I don't feel like I have the right to be, because somewhere inside, I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be loving this person this way. I'm supposed to be this selfless. And so why do I feel so bad? Well, you feel so bad because you're invalidating yourself, depleting yourself, and making yourself of no value in that relationship and putting the other person completely first. And I think that's a big misnomer with people in their friendships and their relationships too, is they feel if they even let themselves exist by just sharing that they feel sad, that they're doing something selfish and wrong and harmful.
Yes, and that's what leads to then what you just talked about, resentment, grievances, and a lot of anger, and then you get into some, you know, a passive-aggressive stuff going on. People have to be able to, you know, to recognize that it's important that they share, that they are, their needs and wants are just as important as their partner, and when they when the relationship can be mutually beneficial to both individuals or a group of individuals, then we're on the road to soul-hearted partnership. See, it's an enhancement of the individual, not a completion.
Yeah.
I always say the traditional relationships, the way we're looking at them now, is that we want someone to complete us instead of, so hard it is, I'm whole and complete with my vulnerabilities, with my imperfections,
right.
Everything
right.
else. Yeah, and I offer that to you in willingness to work on those.
Right.
And I want you to do the same.
That's right. I agree with you completely. Deborah's book is called Soul-Hearted Partnership. I'm going to spell Deborah's last name for you so you can find her on Twitter. R-E-B.
L-E.
Thank you. Jill's going to spell it.
Yes.
Excuse me. R-E-B-L-E. Deborah, thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to let our listeners know about you before we let you get on with your day?
Well, I guess the one thing I want the listeners to know is I walk this walk. I've been through a lot of my own personal experiences, which I do share in the book. So to enlighten people that, you know, I know that there are challenging difficulties in life, and we all have them in our own different ways. But when we reach in and find that resiliency of spirit of our own being, we can overcome. We can make our lives and create our lives the way we really want them to be. We have to start with ourselves first, especially if we're going to create those beautiful, healthy, loving relationships that we want.
Deborah, thank you for being with us. Psychologist and author Deborah Riebel, everyone. Her book is called Soul-Hearted Partnership. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
Well, she was cool.
Yeah, I liked her a lot.
I liked her a lot, too. I really do find that it's the language that people use that made me go, oh, okay, you get it. You get it.
Well, language is everything.
I mean,
you know, I've had therapists that I think are a little more analytical, and they make more analytical sense to me. But because they're speaking my language, but that's not necessarily, you know, as far as in therapy, which is something we can talk about in the next segment, whether or not that's actually going to help me, you know, break through the issues that I have.
Honey, are you ready to talk about some issues?
No.
Let's do some issues. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Jill's issues.
No, we're not. We'll be back in a minute.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of Star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com and set your cool free.
Hello, hello.
You're hello. So froggy.
I'm so froggy.
Yeah, froggy.
We should make some prank phone calls today. Nobody would know it was me. Should we call my mom?
No. We've already pranked her. And yeah, she knew.
I know, she
She's
knew.
Smart.
I had to come up with something much more clever to get Lynn.
Yeah, you do.
That one wasn't going to work. I talked to her later that day. She was like, do you think I was going to believe you were going to set me up with strange men? You're never going to do that. So I was like, you're right. It was a bad joke. I made a mistake. Jeez. Never gonna happen. What you looking at, Becca Gates? Sometimes I can tell Becca wants to say something. What's up, Becca?
Well, as a matter of fact, no, I really, really loved listening to Deborah and your conversation because I think you brought up in a very short period of time, a ton of issues and in how to approach people and also how to be approached about issues. So I was just writing down some questions, that popped up for me.
Awesome. So, hey, and if you guys have any questions, you can direct Twitter me, right, Becca?
That's right. You can direct or not direct Twitter, but if you just at Twitter.
That's a direct Twitter.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, she means don't personal message me. Just
yeah,
direct
that's what
me.
I meant.
Starting next week, we are going to start taking phone calls again toward the end of the show. So,
oh, sure.
Yes.
We're going to try to do that. But for now, you can contact Kathy on Twitter or Facebook. I have her pages open. So if you have a question and you want to.
I'm just going to keep an eye on that during the show. So yeah. If you want to, you're at work, you can't get on the phone or whatever, you want to interact, ask a question, just direct Twitter me or leave a comment on my Facebook page. It's CathyDeBono.
That's right.
Thank you for mouthing that with me. Just in case I got it wrong.
Just in case you forgot how to spell your name.
What's your question?
Well, I have two questions, but I kind of just want to focus on one, which I think is really important. I think a lot of people have issues when they see a friend or a partner or whoever in distress. I know you and Deborah talked a lot about being authentic with them and not holding back because you want to be honest with them. But how can you be honest and authentic with somebody about their own behavior while also trying to be polite? Because I feel like there's got to be some happy medium, you know?
So let me first start by saying when you use the word polite, what you're really asking is how do I do that without shaming them?
Exactly.
Hurting their feelings, triggering something that's going to make them feel bad.
Right. And still challenging them because that's important to their growth. But how would, if a client that you have is asking, I have this issue with so-and-so and I see my friend going through this hard time. How do I approach them without making them go into a frenzy and make them feel bad about
defensive.
Themselves? Exactly.
So, like, you want to question a friend's behavior. You think they're doing something bad for themselves.
Yeah.
Well, Deborah brought up a really great point. And I think the first thing, whenever you want to communicate about anything, whether it's the scenario you describe or anything at all, okay, get clear on your true intention for the communication. What is it you are actually trying to affect? Mm-hmm. What is it you are actually hoping to change? Are you looking for a particular answer because that's going to soothe one of your own fears? Are you looking to have that person know how you feel because you know it's going to make them change their behavior for your own good? And sometimes we're doing stuff like that without even really realizing it. We have to get really quiet with ourselves and really breathe and take a moment and ask ourselves, what outcome am I going for with this? What is my true outcome? So once you've figured that out, you might change your decision. Because if you figure out that it's for a selfish outcome that's really of no good to the other person, you might decide that's not the right thing to do. But if the outcome is, you know, if the answer is, my true intention is to let this person know that I'm not judging them, I don't want to shame them, I'm here to care about them because I recognize what they're going through or what they're saying or whatever it is they're doing that you were talking about that you wanted to confront them about is an expression of something wrong. You know, they're in distress, like you said. I can see you're in distress, and that is my point. Uh-huh. I want to speak to that. I want to help you leave distress. So once you're clear that that's your point, the third thing you want to do is understand. Now, this is going to be different for everyone. You ask me, how do I approach that person? This is where it changes. This is where it becomes a customized situation. Each person, you're going to walk into a different defense, mm-hmm. right? So if a person is raw and in a place that you're describing, they're in distress or there's something that you feel might be a touchy thing to talk to them about, mm-hmm. then you already are aware that their defenses might pop up. Mm-hmm. So how do I talk to them without triggering those defenses? Mm-hmm. Understand first what those defenses might be. Those defenses are always a reaction to something because mm-hmm. defenses don't just pop up for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Identify what that something is and then approach that something directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. I think the thing that to me struck me the most was identify your intention, which is the first step in talking to a friend or lover or partner or whatever. I think that is really the key. A really amazing point that you made is really what is your intention and then how do you go about doing it?
Yeah. So is my intention to give them this information so that they change their behavior and make me feel better? Or is my intention to give them this information because I think it's going to deepen our intimacy if they just know me better? I want them to know they have no responsibility to change this. I just want them to know what I'm going through.
Right.
That's in service of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And that requires being able to sit in some gray areas with each other and it requires expansion. I always want to go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Intention.
That's the
word of the day. Intention is everything. So really quickly, we want to remind you guys that we will be in Munich, Germany on July 13th for Munich Pride and a screening of We Have to Stop Now Season 2. And set your DVRs if you want to see a very intimate but happy moment between Kathy and I on Real Life the Musical, which is on OWN on Saturday, July 13th.
14th.
Our very good friend Dougal Fraser is going to be on Dr. Phil. Going to be on Dr. Phil tomorrow. So you guys tune in and watch.
Yeah, Dougal Fraser, he's been with us on this show. He's a dear, good psychic friend of ours, and he's going to be on Dr. Phil Friday. We're so excited.
We're excited. We're going to watch. And next week's guest is a very good friend of ours, actress Maya Madison, and she is going to talk about her glass vagina. More on that later.
And we're not going to tell you any more than that right now because I just liked the way Jill delivered that glass vagina.
Yes.
You guys, if you haven't been exposed to our buddy and phenomenally talented comic actress, Maya Madison, you want to be here next week. She's really a trip and a good time. So, everybody, thank you for today. Thank you for dealing with my froggy voice. Hopefully next week it will be better. If you are listening on LA Talk Radio, this is where we say goodbye for now. If you are listening at CBS New Sky Radio or virtually anywhere else, please stay tuned because coming up we have a new segment for you called the Craigslist Monologues. And we're going to kick that off with Jenny McNulty giving us our first reading of the Craigslist Monologues. Have a great week.
Pay up. They made it through another one.
Double or nothing next week, Sue.
You're on.
Listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono right here on LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Kathy is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to kathyisin.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
It was posted on Craigslist.
Posted January 13th, 2012, Humboldt, California. Pet cat for hire. Read by comedian Jenny McNulty.
I'm hiring myself out as a pet cat to anyone who wants to own me. I truly believe I would make a great pet cat, much better than your typical cat. If you're interested, we'll sign a one-year contract renegotiable at the end of the term. Basically, I'll provide you all the services of a pet cat while you pay for all my food and housing plus incidentals. Things about me. I am at my best slacking off, sitting around the house, that kind of thing. Very much like a cat. My lifelong passion and hobby is napping, and my qualifications in this field are impeccable. Sometimes I change rooms or chairs, and sometimes I even go to the front window to see what's going on in the street. One of my favorite moments is the long, drawn-out yawn accompanied by the full body stretch. At nights, I like to take a nip outside and prowl around the town, getting back a bit before sunrise. My job experience. 1995 to 1998, lived at my parents, no job whatsoever, and lounged around the house. Performed these duties admirably. 1998 to 2000, lived at my sister's place with her fiancé. Still no job. Watched TV, mostly from the couch, sometimes from the floor. Achieved all goals and overcame all obstacles, gaining the experience necessary to move myself forward professionally. 2000 to 2004, lived at my girlfriend's. No job. Lounged around in her backyard while she was away, curled up on her lap when she got home. Tough situation, but rose to the occasion. References available. What I will do as your pet cat. Basically, my objective is to fulfill all the duties of a domestic cat. I promise to sit around the house all day doing nothing, catch naps, maybe watch some TV. I will not do any work whatsoever, nor will I pick up the phone. Since we cats like to stay clean, I will have a long, warm bath 2 times a day. When you come back after work, I will give you 30 seconds of affection, then go back to my nap. If you speak to me about what happened at work, I will gaze impassively at the wall and you will have no idea whether I listen to you or not. I will largely ignore any friends or relatives you bring over. What you will do as my owner. Your job is to provide me with all the food I need to stay happy. And I'm a talented cat too, so I know how to open the fridge and help myself to food, so keep it stocked. It's also up to you to keep the place clean so I can find plenty of areas to sit and nap. As a potential owner, you'll most definitely have a TV with a satellite. Like all cats, I am mesmerized by the moving things on the screen that I'll be able to watch while you're at work. All medical dental expenses covered by you, the employer. I'm not your typical stay-at-home house cat, so it's vital that you leave a window open at night so that I can go out and roam. Don't worry where I go. If it makes you feel better, then leave me some spending cash on the table before you go to bed. So, how does that sound? If you're interested, send me an email.
Comedian Jenny McNulty.
It was posted on Craigslist.
You're listening to Kathy is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
Now you wanna murder.
Psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Believe.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.